Welcome to the Prosperity Podcast, fresh, alternative personal finance talk for independent thinkers who prosper outside of Wall Street. Here's your host, best-selling author, Kim D.H. Butler, and no BS money guy, Todd Strobel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Prosperity Podcast. This is no BS money guy, Todd Strobel. Once again, we have our co-host and best-selling financial author, Kim Butler, with us. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Todd. Totally excited to be here today to talk about the difference between a movement and a practice or a business.
Super. And I would think that most financial professional out there would probably refer to themselves as having a practice. We prefer to think of what we have as a movement. And interestingly enough, as a movement, we gladly include other financial advisors as well as clients, don't we?
Absolutely. And there's a big thought that is out there in the business world about competition. And it's starting to raise itself, I think, a notch in terms of people are understanding that cooperation is actually going to get us all into better places and helping more people and more opportunity versus competition. And so for us, largely because we do practice nationwide, we always have financial advisors that are interested in our work. And a lot of people might think, oh gosh, that's competition, but it isn't. It's just a way to cooperate.
That's coopetition.
There you go. It is. It's coopetition. So I think it helps us do a better job for our clients. And by raising our practice up from just serving the clients to both serving the clients and other advisors, our clients get the best of all worlds, and then we can help other advisors give the best of all worlds to their clients as well. I think one of the biggest challenges that people are having today in the financial world is feeling like they're going alone at it, feeling like they're the only people out there buying whole life insurance, or feeling like they're the only people out there using life settlements as an investment, or feeling like they're the only people out there that are seeking like bridge loans or real estate as an alternative investment. And when you feel like you're the only people out there, that loneliness leads to a sense of lack of confidence, which then makes it hard to be a prosperous thinker. And we always know that principle number one is think from a prosperous standpoint. Not easy when you're feeling like you're going it alone.
I would think that the hardest thing right now would be to put yourself into a savings mindset, knowing that in the traditional banking world, the dollars that you save today are potentially going to be worth less a year from now than if you spent them. Take a minute and address that.
Well, it is the impact of inflation, and we just get blinded to it because the government continually wants us to see that inflation is only 3 or 4%, which is not really very accurate. And saving in a bank has a whole set of problems with it in addition to inflation, and that's the confiscation that can happen. We just had a client the other day had their entire account wiped out because of something that one bank was able to do by coordinating with the other bank, which I didn't even know that could happen, but apparently it is. And it's about the second or third time that I've heard about it. So yes, we want to be aware of inflation around our savings accounts. We also want to be aware of confiscation around our savings accounts and turn to alternatives like whole life insurance as a place to save money. But then we feel alone again because we go out there in the marketplace and everybody says, oh my gosh, whole life insurance, that's the worst investment in the world. Well, that's where the problem is right there, is people are viewing whole life insurance as an investment and they really should be looking at it as a place to store cash. So what we are doing in our work is not only helping people one-on-one in our practice with our business, that's what Partners for Prosperity does, but we have also created the Prosperity Economics Movement. And right now, it's just hooking up advisors with other advisors that are talking the same language, using the same products that we do. But our goal is to hook up you, the client, with other clients that are acting the same way, doing the same things with their money, believing in the same seven principles of prosperity. And there's two things about a movement that separate it from a practice or a business, in that it's two B words. It's believing and belonging. And so the creation of the movement can help you believe stronger. And when we believe in something, we can be more confident about it. And the creation of the movement can help you belong to a group that other clients are included in that are also doing the same thing. They're using whole life insurance as a place to store cash. They're using alternative investments as a place to store their wealth, like IRA money and non-IRA money that doesn't need to be liquid. And if you are able to connect with other people that are also doing that same thing, then you don't feel as alone, and that gives you more confidence to go back and continue the path as opposed to paying attention to the media, which is going to try to talk you off of that path.
And the difference between belief in this particular movement is particularly due to your husband, which is Todd Langford. We teach people how to ask questions, but also to be able to verify. So it's not a matter of something that we want you to take on faith. We literally are able to give you the tools to test not only the things that you're looking at outside the movement, but we encourage you to question the things inside the prosperity economics movement as well, don't we?
Absolutely, because numerical proof is necessary when you're making decisions. And Todd's Truth Concepts software, and anybody can take a look at it, it's truthconcepts.com. So you're a client, you're listening to this, you're wondering how we prove things out numerically. And Truth Concepts is what we use. That's Todd Langford's software at truthconcepts.com. Anybody can buy it. You can read the blog, you can watch the videos, you can actually have a 10-day free look at the software. And it is what we use to prove numerically that all of our strategies work. We're able to prove the internal rate of return on cash value of life insurance. We're able to prove how good a particular real estate deal is. We're able to prove the theories behind life settlements and bridge loans. We're able to prove the theories behind a minimum down payment on a home and a maximum mortgage, and keeping that maximum mortgage for the entire 30 years. We're able to prove the opportunity cost issues that surround all kinds of decisions like buying cars and educating children, et cetera, et cetera. But those that I've mentioned are the real biggies that are proved with Truth Concepts numerically every single day by advisors all over this country, for clients all over this country. And all of those people are included in the prosperity economics movement, even though they might not always identify themselves as such. Because this is a brand new movement. We're literally on our second year of working with it and totally excited about what it can do for people and the increasing of their confidence around those economic decisions that they're making. But you said it well, it's not based on faith. Belief is there because you've seen the results, whether you've seen it financially or seen it numerically. But then belonging is there because you can then resist the Wall Street shenanigans, the messages from the media, and even those from banks and even insurance companies that are touting the latest product as opposed to a strategy that is proven and actually works.
Kim and I both come from the traditional banking world, and I can't say it any better than what your husband, Todd Langford, said. And let's see if I can get it right. There's lies, damn lies, and then statistics.
That's right.
So I would encourage you to use those calculators and verify the things that you're being presented, because many times we accept marketing materials particularly in financial transactions, a lot of stuff handed out at banks or insurance companies or whatever, but we have the ability to back check those figures. I'm personally not that great at it, but Todd Langford has to be the master.
Yeah. Well, there's videos on YouTube available for those that just want to watch. And we know advisors all across the country use them. And again, clients are welcome to view them because they can be helpful for those that are analytical. You know, not everybody makes their decisions based on crunching the numbers and analytics. I am myself a very big picture concept-based person, but I know those concepts work because I have seen the numbers presented and prepared over and over and over. So after a while, you don't have to keep questioning them. And you know that a slight change in opportunity cost rate or a slight change in interest rate or dividend rates from the insurance company is not really going to have that big of an impact. You know, it's interesting. I had a client ask a question the other day about the dividend rates from the insurance company. So obviously we're in 2015 here. He's asking about the 2015 dividend, forgetting that that changes every single year. He was looking at an illustration and thinking, oh my gosh, this thing is going to do this for sure when I'm 62 and he's 45 now. No, it's not for sure. Numbers are not static. And it's one of the things that we're teaching inside the Prosperity Economic Movement is that we have to realize that, for example, interest rates are very low right now. So loans are very, very inexpensive. And we get caught up in thinking that they're always going to be that way. And as an example, some insurance companies charge an 8% loan rate for their cash value. And that seems high right now, but that's a fixed rate, never, ever to change. And 8%, if you look up interest rates over the course of time, I'm not talking 10 years, I'm talking like 50 or 100 years, 8% is a very, very good interest rate. So much so that that's kind of our dividing line, if you will, of if you have a loan that's at 8% or less, it's an efficient loan. It's a pretty good loan. If it's a little bit more than 8%, then maybe you want to be looking at it. So these are some of the things that we're going to be continually working on inside the Prosperity Economics Movement. And of course, we have our ebook that is available. Would you like to tell everybody about that?
Sure. You go ahead and give the website. It's partners4prosperity.com/ebook is a special gift just for our listeners. Did I get that correct?
That is correct. So that's an ebook that is written on the concept that financial planning has failed. And it goes into this idea in depth that financial planning as an industry, which has really only been around since about the 1950s, has failed. Number one, because people can't really plan their finances. They can't really plan their lives either. My daughter was just saying the other day that her new college roommate that she's starting to communicate with on Facebook has her life all planned out, literally like 4 years of college, then what she's going to do after that, when she's hoping to get married, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Kaylee was laughing at it saying, gosh, you know, where's the room for serendipity? Where's the room for, oh my gosh, this is a byproduct of something that I didn't even know existed. And now I want to go pursue this. And I was talking with Kaylee about Russia tried to plan and it didn't work. Cuba tried to plan and it didn't work. So we had to have a little bit of history lessons there, but financial planning doesn't work for those same reasons. You can't take a numerical, mathematically correct concept and apply it to human beings and their lives and money. So I'm not saying that the math behind a financial plan is wrong. Math is math, and you can get it right if you have an easy computer or a financial calculator that does future value and that kind of thing. But the idea that we can actually plan out our finances is as crazy as the idea that Russia could plan its food sources for 20 years and Cuba could plan its whole community section, et cetera, et cetera. So this idea behind financial planning was an attempt in the 50s to help people with their finances. It's also what happened around, which is more about in the 70s, the 401k arena, because nobody invested in the stock market other than super wealthy people in the early eras, the 1920s, 30s, 40s, et cetera. And so here we have this convergence of 401ks, which got a lot of people into mutual funds, which is in the stock market, and the financial planning industry coming online, thinking that people could actually plan their financial lives. And those two things together, frankly, I think have done more harm than good in our clients' financial lives. And now they're such a part of people's thinking and talking and vocabulary. And of course, the media is right behind them, that when something else is presented for many people, it takes a little bit of thinking before they're actually able to see a different point of view. And prosperity economics presents a completely different point of view. We'll do that on a future podcast. That'll be a fun thing to talk about. The difference between financial planning and prosperity economics, which is what our movement is about.
Super. We just got a good question texted in, and this person says that they're an engineer and they spent quite a bit of time getting good at their particular job. How can they justify being able to handle their own finances? Shouldn't they delegate that to someone who has just as much education as they do? Address that.
Yeah, that's a fabulous question. And the answer is that they can delegate the need for help. So yes, absolutely. You want to involve a financial professional in your life so that you can get some additional ideas and perspective, some unemotional recommendations about your personal finances. But what you don't want to delegate is the responsibility for them. And there are a lot of things out there that cause us as human beings to delegate responsibility. And it's just not wise. It's literally letting somebody else control your life. Furthermore, I don't think investing needs to be that complicated. If you use some of the alternative investments that you recommend and that we talk about, if you use the cash positions that we talk about, there is some learning that has to happen without a doubt. We just did a podcast a couple of weeks ago on all the definitions around life insurance, all these funny little words that people need to learn. But that responsibility to do a little bit of learning falls squarely on every person's shoulders. And I think it's a very necessary thing to have discussions about in our families so that our kids are learning, and so that if there is a spouse or significant other involved, that both people are involved in the conversation around money and what's happening about money. Money does not need to be a dirty, secretive, shameful thing to talk about. Everything in our world is affected by it. And so each person wants to basically have two jobs, the job that they do every day and the job of running their household as close to like a business as you can get it, whereby the money is looked at from a business standpoint in your household. And that is your second job. That's the second thing that you should be spending time on. Yes, you can get help, but don't delegate the responsibility.
So to summarize, you need to build a financial team, which would include people from taxes, lawyers, investment advisors, potentially insurance agents. But what you don't want to do is delegate responsibility for those people to make decisions without you. They can advise you. And the other thing I would recommend too is make sure that you're coordinating these folks together, not working with them independently. What do you think?
Absolutely. And the word team is a great example of what can be done when things are coordinated, conversations are occurring. And it depends on your level of sophistication, but at least once every other year or so, having a quick run through of those main categories, insurance, investments, legal, and tax, and making sure that everybody's on the same page. It's worth the time, and it really doesn't take that much time.
I have a particular accountant that a lot of my clients work with, and we average about $15,000 in tax savings per client. And if you were to look at that over a 30-year time period, what you could grow that money to, I mean, that's just money that could be wasted. So again, build yourself a financial team. And then kind of relate this to the movement, because we're also reaching out for the movement, not only to financial advisors, not only to the consumer, but we're also looking and reaching out to attorneys and accountants and things like that as well.
Absolutely. So within the movement, if you can find, and they absolutely exist, and we have connections to them, for example, attorneys and accountants, if you can find people that will agree with the platform of the movement, the thinking of the movement, and how important those seven principles of prosperity are and some of the other things that we espouse in the movement, then it's a lot easier to be on the same page for everybody, which will then make it easier for you with your money to not feel like you're getting these two differing opinions and then having to try to make the decision yourself. That's going to happen some, and that just means that you need to dig in there a little bit further. We were talking about Todd Langford earlier. One of his other favorite sayings is, if it sounds too good to be true, you just need to dig a little deeper, because everything of value sounded too good to be true before it came about. Think about the light bulb. Think about the cell phone. Think about an MP3 player, et cetera, et cetera. There's many, many examples of things that sounded absolutely crazy or too good to be true until all of a sudden they're part of mainstream capability. In fact, the Tesla car that we just talked about in our last podcast, that too, a car run on batteries sounded too good to be true and is now becoming more and more mainstream. So if it sounds too good to be true, just dig a little further.
Super. Well, before we wrap up, why don't you give a couple action steps that you would like to see our listeners take?
Well, keep learning. That's the most important thing. So if you like to read, we have books available. If you just go to Amazon, you can look up Kim Butler as an author and you'll see books that are supporting the prosperity economics movement. If you like video, there's a couple YouTube channels. Todd Langford has a YouTube channel and Kim Butler does, as well as Partners for Prosperity and the Prosperity Economics Movement. So if you're a video person, there's that way. And then, of course, we have our podcast and we'll continue to talk about the movement, some of the things that we're doing in it and for it and with it and by it. And have some fun with this. And just remember our two B words, believe and belong. So get clear on your own beliefs. Have your own value system as clear as you can. This is a fun thing that I like to do once a year or so, is just look up a list of values on the web and, you know, get 100 words or so, and then print those off and go through them and choose what my own values are to me. And one that I'm working on this year is the difference between optimize and maximize. And I think that that's just a fun distinction that you can make. Maximize being to get the most that you possibly can, and optimize to get the best with what you've already got. And optimizing is what we're going to be focusing on for clients' money, to get the best with what you've got, the most efficient use of what you already have. So that's another thing that is a fun little exercise that we could identify as an action step to take for today.
Super. And a lot of the prosperity podcasts are created as a result of listeners' questions. So if you have any questions, please forward them to us. We would love to do a show. If you are an advisor or a financial professional and you would actually like to be on the show, we invite you to give us a call. We'd be glad to talk to you and see how we can do a show with you. Again, we're not looking for people that necessarily agree with us on everything. If you'd like to state your case, we would be glad to have you and give you your time on here and compare the way that you think versus prosperity economics. Kim, anything you'd like to say to wrap up?
Well, just a reminder of where the ebook is. It's partners4prosperity.com/ebook, called Financial Planning Has Failed. There's an audio version there as well. And we look forward to your questions. Send them in.
Super. This is No BS Money Guy Todd Strobel once again for the Prosperity Podcast. Once again, thank you so much, Kim Butler. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Prosperity Podcast. To take control of your money and have it work for you, visit us at partnersforprosperity.com. If you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and leave a review.